There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Tuesday. Another couple hours of live local talk, and you're a big part of the show, of course. Remember, it is Ask the Sheriff this hour, so even more reason to have this number handy, 251-343-0106. Works for a good old-fashioned phone call. We'd like to hear your voice as well, but also the Ascension Technologies text line at 251-343-0106. So same number. And if you have the TalkBack app, the FM Talk 106.5 Talk app, and then you can use the TalkBack feature, which is that microphone icon on the front page. If you press that, you can record a message there, and then it emails that, and we can play it back on the show. So check that out as well. And I guess we'll take good old-fashioned emails as well. Sean, S-E-A-N, at FMTalk1065.com. And yeah, in breaking news today, you heard mention of it during Jeff's show. I just mentioned at the end of his, the impeachment announcement from Speaker McCarthy, the question of would he or wouldn't he? Well, he would. We'll get into that in hour number two. Michael Yaffe joins us. And also, I'll take a look at the a story that I've brought up over the years when we're in hurricane season, but it's now finally, I guess, it's not the Chicken Little moment here, as insurance companies are pulling out of Florida. And it's this question of when you have that much coastline, so you have that much area that can be easily affected by a hurricane, even interior-wise, you know, how do you balance that for homeowners insurance in a state? And some companies are pulling out there. And what does that mean even for us here in the Northern Gulf Coast? We'll talk about that in hour number two. But without further ado, Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch joining us in studio. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
A lot to talk. Let's do this first, though, because I got a stack of questions I want to get into. But I know there's something that has a timeline on it. And so Mobile County Sheriff's Office has a Citizens Academy coming up.
Yes, the inaugural week is this week. It starts on Wednesday. You can sign up online, and it'll be, you know, we run up through the beginning of December. It'll be one class each week on Wednesday nights, and you know, learn more about what we do.
Okay, because I mean, people have been familiar in the past with Mobile Police Department doing Citizens Academy, but this is through the Sheriff's Office.
It is. I've been asked about it frequently, and, mm-hmm. and we made the decision kind of on short notice to go ahead and put one together. Evidently, there was one years ago, and so we basically kept the same plan, looked at what Baldwin County has started, and mirrored their program. And so, again, it's an opportunity to learn what we do on a more personal level.
Right. Why is that good for y'all in law enforcement? What's the benefit for y'all?
Well, the benefit is the relationships with the community, but for those who, you know, wonder what we do or may second guess what we do, there'll be classes on crime scene and evidence collection. There'll be a firearms portion. You know, there'll be some legal, you know, talk about what we do and why we do it, you know, as it relates to state law and the Constitution. And again, it's a very broad, you know, program, but it educates the public where they better understand what we do and why we make some of the decisions that we do.
So Wednesday nights. And it's for how many weeks, you know?
There's 6 weeks.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken, yeah.
Right, and people are already asking, so you sign up where?
MobileSO.com.
Okay, so go there, and if y'all have any questions, I tell you what, we'll try to get a link up on our Facebook page as well to make it easier. All right, before we even get back here to Mobile County, I want to ask about a national story. I thought about you when the story came out, was talking about it yesterday on the show. This move in New Mexico by the governor of New Mexico using, if I get the language right, public health emergency. They had tragedy like so many of us have, which is just heart-wrenching, of children killed. you know, in gun violence. But so the governor said in so many words that that was a public health emergency and banned the Second Amendment in municipalities and counties with certain parameters going forward under an emergency order. Your thoughts on that?
An emergency order does not subvert the Constitution. And, you know, the sheriffs there who are taking a stance are taking the right stance because we're constitutional officers and we're going to support and abide by the Constitution.
So a constitutional officer, we hear that discussed a lot with law enforcement. How is that? So what's the definition of that with the sheriff's department versus, you know, others in law enforcement?
Well, you know, the sheriff is elected. Mm-hmm. So therefore, you know, they are the holders of the Constitution in the county in which they're, you know, elected to, and that is our primary oath, is to support and defend the Constitution.
So even if you're told by, and actually I don't know how the structure would be here, it would be the county commission or something that would, but if you're told by the governor, you know, to say, well, sheriff's departments in all 67 counties must do this, and it is against the Constitution, y'all are bound to say no?
I can tell you Paul Birch would say no. You know, I can't speak for other sheriffs.
Right.
And, you know, but, you know, that's the oath that we took, and again, I would never do anything that would circumvent or subvert the Constitution, be it the U.S. Constitution or the state Constitution.
Imagine being one of those sheriffs right now having to go, God bless, we got to deal with this.
Well, they know they've got a good ground to stand on. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're going to do what's right, and like I said, they can, you know, they being, you know, somebody such as that governor can issue orders all day long. You know, we basically control our department. We control our jails.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're not going to go out and do something that's illegal.
Okay. Because I wanted to get your reaction to that because I could imagine.
There were a few
imagine.
Things floating around over the last couple of weeks talking about mask mandates and, mm-hmm. you know, shutdowns. And, you know, again, I can tell you, Mobile County Sheriff's Office will not play any part in that. You know, I'm not going to shut down a local business.
Okay, let's say a scenario here, like we had before. A governor comes out, state health officer comes out, governor's backing, says, here's this mandate under executive order mandating, let's say that. I don't think it's going to happen again, but say they're requiring you to go shut down ABC hardware store because they're open. And we would say what to that order?
Not going to do it. You know, they're tax-paying citizen. I'm not going to violate their constitutional rights to conduct their business and you know, take away their livelihood.
Okay. So there it is. And we'll get – I see some more questions coming in on the text line, all that. So we'll get to them. A stack of questions before we even got started, Sheriff. So I'll get these rolling here.
And I did the correction by text. The academy's 8 weeks.
8 weeks. Okay. Thank you. So – but do you sign up? And the first class, though, is tomorrow.
It's tomorrow night. Yeah. Okay. And we may can make some adjustments to catch up.
Yeah. What if I got something to do tomorrow night? Can I come in week two?
We'll figure something out.
Like there's a remedial course to catch me up?
Yes.
Okay. Good. From the text line here, the real Sam on the text line said, my cousin is a nonviolent marijuana felon. Can he have a black powder revolver? And if so, can he have it in his car? And if so, can it be loaded?
A black powder firearm, whether it be a rifle or a handgun, you know, it is, I don't know if it's the right word, you know, they don't consider that a firearm as far as the ATF rules and being a convicted felon.
Yeah, there's like on the hunting side, you know, there's primitive weapon seasons for those. Yeah. They see them differently. So,
yeah, so
it wouldn't.
They would not be arrested for being a felon in possession of a firearm if it's a black powder.
Okay. Michael, can you ask the sheriff how his staffing levels are looking and if he has any concerns with the city pulling back the police jurisdiction?
Our staffing levels are looking better. You know, we're putting our first few school resource deputies into the schools next week. You know, so that was positions we're trying to hire for as well. And we've got several people in process of being hired. And what was the next question?
The
part B?
Yeah, so first is, and do you have any concerns with the city of Mobile, I guess, specifically pulling back the police jurisdiction, what that means for your department?
We've met with them and continue to meet with them, and they understand that, you know, a drastic pullback would only cause us to hire more MPD officers. So, yeah, it's going to be a...
That's some real stuff right there, Sheriff. There you go.
So, I mean, we'd be forced to cover a much larger area, and you know, that's... You know, I'm trying to avoid doing that. We're sending more people to the academy than we've ever sent.
Right.
So, to avoid pulling the talent from MPD. But, you know, they've been very good at including us on the process, and they're going to draw back gradually from what we're told.
Is it drawn back gradually? Are we moving a line, or are we moving the amount of response? You see what I'm saying? Like, when you say pull back gradually, it's like we're coming a block back this week, 2 blocks, or is it like less?
Well, you can only change the jurisdictional lines every 24 months.
Okay.
So, you know, rather than roll back their full 3 miles at one time, they're going to do it in increments. But again, okay, it can only be done every 24 months.
So they'll be moving back every 24 months, and y'all will be moving towards the east generally, or
yes,
know, in that direction, or towards the south. All right, coming back, more of your questions, plenty of them to get to for Sheriff Paul Birch. Phone number and the text line, 343-0106. 343-0106. It's Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1221, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Tuesday, second Tuesday of the month. That means Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch, our guest in studio. And I'm going to get to more of your questions for the sheriff as well. And Larry and Daphne, listen, Larry, Larry's commenting on something on our Facebook page, facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5. Larry, I've seen the headline. I've not dug into the story. Larry is worried about the show ending without a discussion of this orangutan that throws possums out of its orangutan house at a zoo. If you wonder what Larry's talking about and I'm trying to figure out, go to facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5 and scroll down there, and it looks like an orangutan that throws possums. I don't know. I'm intrigued. Sheriff, a couple things more here, and then I want on the text line, then I want to get into a couple more questions, and we'll stack these up this way. This texter says, unnamed texter said, no sheriff wants to end up in his own jail.
Well, you know, the worst that could happen in a situation like that is, I guess, be held in contempt and put in jail. But mm-hmm. you know, the fortunate thing about being a sheriff is we determine where custody is. So I can either be in my office, I can sit in my house. You know, I determine where custody is.
Okay. There's a trivia thing I can win with down there. So you could say, okay, fine, you've told me I got to go to jail, but I decide where the jail is.
I decide where custody is.
Where could custody be, like in the boat, go fishing?
They depend on the confines. You know, they may put an ankle monitor on me.
There we go. They find out all the good snapper spots. Don says, good afternoon, Sean. A question for the sheriff, if you have time. First, thank him for what he's doing. So thank you.
Thank you.
And he said, I'm concerned about colleges and other entities in our country taking away the right to conceal and bear arms when citizens have a permit to do so. Constitutionally, can they actually do that? And is he worried that something similar might spread across the country, even filter down into our neck of the woods?
Yeah, the schools are, you know, I guess, governed more so by the government as far as restrictions on firearms. And, you know, I'm all about the Second Amendment and having the right to carry concealed. You know, but do you really want someone who hasn't been vetted in any way carrying a firearm on a school campus? And that's some of the concerns. And, you know, the legal aspects of it, I haven't really dig that deep into right. You know, college campuses or anything like that, but you know, if
but it, and like the old kind of axiom that I work off of, and I thought about this with, you know, being a longtime concealed carry permit holder, those rights went until I got to a metal detector, basically, or armed officer of some sort. Like
right.
At that point, the way I, and you can tell me if this is right, but my idea, the way I understood it, was okay, now that I'm going to be told that I can't carry to defend myself, it's now on you, and you're going to make sure there's nobody else in here with a gun, and you're going to have somebody to defend me with a gun.
And that's the way the law is basically okay. written. If there's, they have to post that there's no weapons allowed, and there has to be some mechanism where, whether it be a police officer, security guard, or metal detector, you know, monitored by someone, to prevent others from bringing it in. So if they're taking away your protection or the ability to mm-hmm. protect yourself, they have to offer some kind of protection in return.
So that's why I wonder, you know, on a yeah. you know a big campus, could you do, inside a building you could have a magnetometer, but the campus at large.
Right, right? Campus at large, you know, it'd be, unless you're open carrying, and which would obviously cause some alarm mm-hmm. on a school campus, then, you know, the idea behind concealed carry is for people not to know that you have a gun.
Right, which don't get me off of my rant. Those of y'all that, like, half concealed carry, like you conceal carry, but you want everybody to see it, what are you doing? But that's just, that's yeah. me talking. That's a, I don't know if that's your opinion. That's just
the thing. It's the same. Like I said, the ideal behind concealed carry is concealed carry.
Do a good job of concealing it. I think yeah. that's the coolest thing. Leslie in Orange Beach says, the sheriff and I both know someone who got a marijuana felony possession. They got a pardon from the governor and were allowed to get their concealed carry permit.
And I believe that I know who they're speaking of. And yes, I did help, you know, with that situation. It was a long time ago. Laws have changed since then, and you know they were able to get their permit a number of years ago. And you know, if it's a nonviolent, you know, offense,
right.
then and it's a you know one or two time offense type thing, I don't think there's any reason you shouldn't be able to get a permit.
Ted said, since the constitutional carry law has been implemented, have you seen a significant decrease in the purchase of permits of concealed carry permits? That's the first question. So have you seen – we've talked about this.
We've lost about $100,000 a month, and it's getting to a critical level, and just had a meeting on this yesterday. It's impacted our ability to purchase vehicles because county commission, you know, have other departments that they need to fund, and,
right.
and they give us just, you know, one little pile of money, and the cost of vehicles have gone up significantly. So it's – taken away our ability to purchase vehicles. I've had to cut back training significantly because, again, we only get a small portion of money for that.
Now, but and I am setting the ball on the tee a little bit here, Sheriff, but the legislature in the law said that there would be this fund that would pay back the difference for not just your department, but 67 counties worth of sheriff's departments losing money from this.
Well, the word they used, and I've said this on here before, is reimburse.
Mm-hmm.
And even in DIP math, reimburse means one for one.
That's right.
And they've come up with this formula that they apply, and you get a fraction of the money that you've lost.
But, so, yeah, if I say, hey, I'll pick that up for you, and you say I'll reimburse you when you get here, and I picked up, you know, lunch for everybody, and it was $26, which I don't know you could do that now. That's $86 if you yeah. pick up lunch for everybody. And you give me $7.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
not reimbursement.
I mean, so when you turn around and talk to legislature about this, I thought there was going to be some amendment to this. But they
amended, you know, where they did extend the period of time from 3 years to 5 years. But, you know, they're just, again, I don't know who came up with this formula and why they decided to apply it in the way that they did, but that's what we're faced with. You know, the one other good thing they did do in the amendment was direct the county commissions to provide the funds to the sheriff's office. You know, the way it originally was set up, the county commission retained, you know, the monies. It was still our monies, but we had to go through them to get it. And
gotcha.
So that was, you know, changed as well.
And Ted points out here, after asking that question, he just, yeah, how's the money allocated? You just said, and he said, I still purchase my permit because I travel in many other states, and it's reciprocal in those states. That's from Ted.
And we appreciate that. We will always continue to sell them and encourage people to have them for that reason. You know, and there are a lot of people that we see, and because I walk down in the lobby periodically, and because there's usually a handful of people down there, talk with them, and most of them just feel more comfortable having a permit.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, and if you leave state, and we've talked about this at length on the show, if you leave the state, also go check the reciprocity maps. There's all kind of websites because it works in most states, but not all states. I mean, you've told me New York, even law enforcement
can't carry. New York, even law enforcement can't carry a concealed handgun. So
yeah, so check out those details, and we're gonna go to the news and come back more with Sheriff Birch. But a reminder here too: so the Citizens Academy starting in October.
Correct. Starting in October, had it mislabeled on my calendar.
Right.
Anyway, there's a meeting about it tomorrow, but that's not the actual academy
day. Okay, so people can
go to our website.
So they, but it's open now to get signed up.
It is, yes.
And this will be Wednesday nights for 8 weeks,
yep,
starting in October. All right, so y'all check that out. All right, coming back, more questions at 343-0106, 343-0106. Our guest, Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch, right here on Midday Mobile. And a quick reminder as well, I know it's early in the week, and I shouldn't remind people because I finally had a good, well, my second weekend in college pick'em was a lot better, and I came up in the ranks by 100 and something, but start checking out. Make sure you don't forget to get signed up. The hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of y'all in the College Pick'em Challenge. Remember, go update your choices for this week's games. Check it out online at runyourpool.com or go straight through fmtalk1065.com. All right, news is next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. It's Ask the Sheriff, second Tuesday of the month. We do this with Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch, our guest in the studio, and questions coming in for the sheriff. We'll get to the text line in a second. First, let's go to the phone lines. And first up, Robert in Sims, you're on with Sheriff Birch.
Hey, Sean.
Yes.
Sheriff, I'm... appreciate you taking time out to talk to the folks. I have a quick question in regards to, in this new open carry law or concealed carry law they passed, there's a duty to inform, which I've always believed in. Anytime you're talking to a cop, if you had a firearm on, you should tell them. But there's actually a duty to inform component to the new concealed carry law. When does that... obviously, you'd do it at a traffic stop, but, you know, if you're in line at Whataburger and 4 or 5 cops come in and, you know, you got a firearm on you, when is that duty to inform engage?
Well, actually, that's a very controversial, you know, and still unclear part of that law. It's, you know, there's the requirement, but yet there's no punishment for not doing it. You know, they didn't build that in when they made that.
Then it's not law, right, if you don't
right.
have...
But to answer your question, you know, unless law enforcement engages you in some way, there's no need to let them know you're armed or anything like that. Again, a traffic stop, it's generally, that's a good thing to do, is, hey, I have a firearm, it's either on me or it's in the glove box, and, you know, because that doesn't hurt it and shows them that you're just making them aware you have one. But just in the public, if you're at a restaurant, at the mall... you know, unless they're approaching you for some reason, you know, there's no need to do that.
There you go, Robert. We appreciate the call. More calls will leave room at 343-0106. From the text line, and this is from Bob, said, Sheriff Birch, are there no firearms even with a permit posted at gun shows any more valid than ones at businesses? There are multiple entrances, no metal detectors, and some armed vendors. Why am I being disarmed? I hope I did that right, Bob. I was trying to read through them.
I mean, it's the same thing as we discussed. If, you know, it's a private business, you know, that's their property. And if they choose to not have, you know, weapons, you know, people with weapons on their property, you know, they can post that and then put mechanisms in place to, you know, protect you when you're not allowed to carry a gun in there. So it's, again, that's the rights of a private, you know, business owner.
And you've talked about that before, too, that in the case where somebody would be on somewhere where they said no guns, but there wasn't, you know, magnetometer, whatever, if you were called in to remove that person, it would be trespassing.
Right.
Wouldn't you, be about Second Amendment to be.
You could ask them to either leave or go put the gun up. And
if they say no,
then they could be arrested for trespassing.
So Dirt Digger, and I think Dirt Digger's responding to the discussion from New Mexico, said, I'm a pistol permit holder. Why do they always go after law-abiding citizens' rights instead of keeping the thugs in jail?
Because they're stupid bureaucrats, to sum it up. I mean, any time you try to disarm, you know, law-abiding citizens, you're just making it better for the thugs who are illegally carrying guns and who prey, you know, on other people. So, you know, that's really the best way I can answer that. That people who make those decisions, it's usually those on the left and who don't like guns, and they just can't seem to get that when you are creating a rule affecting law-abiding, you know, citizens who are legally carrying guns, you're just making it easier for the thugs who are out there victimizing people.
I want to, and we come back to y'all's questions, but I do want to shift to my stack of questions for the sheriff and get an update from you on the investigation into Alex Crowe, and where are y'all with this right now?
We're basically at a standstill. Some of the tolls we got back weren't helpful, but we're waiting on many others and that we've, you know, issued subpoenas for. But we're at a standstill. There's nothing more we can really do until some of those records come in.
Okay, so those records are being subpoenaed. Are they being denied? Or
no, they're just, you know, we're at the mercy of, you know, I'm sure these big companies, you know, mainly phone companies and such, get thousands of these from around the country, and we're just one in that stack that, you know, when they get to them, they get to them.
And what about the fact that you got these people in another country? I mean, we've heard about like extradition, but usually that's kind of the federal discussion. What about, I mean, from a county level, can you call for that? Or,
you know, if there was a charge that you know, a felony charge, we can, you know.
How's that work? Do you specifically go tell them, or do you have to tell the feds and the feds? Where's the chain of command in that?
What we do is, let's just say there's a felony. We were able to get a felony charge. We would get with the feds and obtain what they call a UFAP, unlawful flight to avoid prosecution.
Okay.
And then they will then trigger the mechanisms for, you know, international extradition. You know, and depending on what the charge is, you know, whatever country he's in could refuse to extradite. Just, you know, they dictate
right
what they'll extradite on.
And certain countries we have agreements with, right? And certain we don't.
We do, but even the ones that we do have extradition agreements with, they still may say, well, that's not really that serious of a charge, you know, so we're not going to extradite in this case.
Okay. But you're still just waiting on those documents right now. That's where it sits.
That's where it sits. And, you know, again, we may or may not be able to develop criminal charges depending on what we get back.
So I'm reading a story a couple of days ago from Andrea Ramey over at NBC 15. And it's about stuff you've talked with me over time on. We've had Sarah Kaley and different guests in to talk about the using, you know, going back to crack cold cases. And this is a cold case that 1976, a murder. And talk about this and how what y'all did to crack this.
You know, we've got a young lady on our staff who's a genealogy expert, and she's got contacts around the country that specialize in these type cases, especially ones that, I mean, you get just such minimal amount of DNA from, you know, whether it be bones or, you know, whatever. And they're able to get these tiny amounts and send them off and get a profile and then begin the genealogy, you know, process for that. You know, and I'm probably really messing that up because it's her brain works in a different way. It's really somebody you should have on the show one day and talk about it.
I'd love to get her on. I mean, I was reading this. It's, you know, talking about her. It says, now a sergeant with Mobile County Sheriff's Office, J.T. Thornton, along with the investigative genetic genealogist Olivia McCarter, reopened the Jane Doe murder mystery in 2021, but they soon learned Jane Doe had been cremated. So I would think, okay, there's no DNA. It says, no DNA test, or so they thought. Thornton discovered a dental mold. Listen to this, y'all, and you can read Andrea's story. With skin cells, so a dental mold had skin cells from the Jane Doe still on it, and they used that to test for the DNA. Holy cow.
Yeah, it's DNA collection is evolving, you know, every day on how tiny of a bit, you know, amount you can get.
And how old? I mean, this is 76, and then 2021, and it's a piece of skin from a dental mold.
Yep.
It's pretty amazing.
And it takes a creative mind to know how to look for things such as that. And like I said, it's remarkable. You know, that there are people specializing in that field that I think there are, you know, many other cold cases that will, you know, be resolved. And there's one that, you know, we're just waiting on a few little things that, you know, we'll be very happy to announce. You know, one that was just back in the 90s that, you know, we will soon have an identification that we can make public. So,
okay. So that's coming soon.
Yep.
From the text line, the Ascension Technologies text line, Jason says, Sheriff Birch, my last three experiences at local gun shows have reeked of pot and people obviously high purchasing weapons. Given that the deputy is at the gate, how is this being allowed?
I've experienced the same thing myself when I've gone. And again, all that changed, you know, just with the permitless carry stuff. I mean, I think there were some recent changes where they've stopped people from carrying concealed weapons inside, because like I've witnessed it myself, and what I've seen, you know, those people do who reeked of pot, you know, you had one individual pointing to different weapons to other individuals who would then go purchase them. And you know, I can't say
is that a shell purchase at that point?
It is, okay. And you know, but you know, for whatever reason, you know, people are afraid to approach them, mm-hmm. and after making those observations, and you know, the laws are so, I guess, constraining on being able to. Someone may smell a pot, but you have to have a reasonable suspicion that they have it on them, you know,
right,
or follow them back out to their car, and you know, the deputies and officers who are there to provide physical security for
the event, right?
For the event, so.
Well, I mean, because we can go into this, and I have before, and it's true old man mode I go into when I hear myself when I say this, but we didn't change the law on marijuana in the state, did we? Recreational marijuana, we didn't.
We
change
did
that?
Not.
Okay, just checking, because you want to stop at the traffic light out here and take a sniff.
It's traffic lights everywhere.
Yeah,
or that's what I'm saying. Grocery stores.
Yes,
and. You know, I've walked by many times. You know, a lot of times I have my daughter with me, and so, you know, I'm not going to engage them when I've got mm-hmm. her with me. And by the time one time I called somebody to come, you know, try to address it, but they obviously left before, you know, I could get a car over there.
Right.
You know, and one of the things that you have to be, you know, and I've thought about running operations at some of these gun shows because I've witnessed this, but you're going to have a segment of people who say that you are targeting gun purchasers and not people out there, you know, illegally using drugs. So there's a delicate balance there. And frankly, I'm not one of these that really care about what, you know, people think that when it comes to enforcing the law.
Right.
And, you know, but that is, you know, something I've talked about and we're still discussing. And you just, you know, I think it becomes a situation where you have to really talk to the other side and let them know what your purpose is, that you're not out there to deter people from purchasing guns and you know, legally purchasing guns. So we'll see.
Okay. And I know this
is a target-rich environment.
Okay, so it's funny. Look at that, Jason. You sent that text in. Jason, obviously you are not alone in that. This one, I know this would be more, I guess, a question for Sheriff Mack, but we're talking about that. Lisa said, what's the latest update on the Brittany Woods case?
Yeah, that's something that there is no recent update. You know, that's something that, you know, it's a collective investigation from both agencies, and you know, there's just no new data.
Does that surprise you, Sheriff, with the number of people involved in that, and that there was not something to run on?
It does. You know, I have nothing to base this off of other than just a lot of experience over the years.
Mm-hmm.
My belief all along is the uncle who killed himself is the one who did something with her. You know, because that was the time frame she mm-hmm. went missing. And that has been my belief from the beginning. Again, nothing to base it on other than common sense. And you know, but there's been nothing to disprove that theory either.
All right, coming right back. Your questions for Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch right here on Midday Mobile.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Right, 1250 FM Talk 106.5. Back to what we discussed right before the news, too. Pat says, if I have alcohol on my breath, y'all have probable cause to search my vehicle and in public my person. Why is it not the same for weed?
I would have to, you know, beg to differ with you. Just alcohol on your breath doesn't give us a right to search your vehicle. It can trigger an investigation as to whether you're driving under the influence, but does not automatically lead into, you know, searching your vehicle.
Michael asking, is there any update on the Pritchard operations that you talked about last time you were here?
Yeah, it was a very successful operation, and we're still in Pritchard on a much smaller scale. You know, we'll be back there again on a large scale, just as needed, and we're focusing on some other areas around the county. But it was a really successful operation. We've gotten a lot of accolades from the citizens of Pritchard, and you know, we're there for the long run. We're going to do our best to make sure that they live in an environment that they feel safe in.
And we've talked about this before, but people go, well, that's inside a municipality. But your responsibility, even though we just talked about pulling back for the PJs and filling in, but y'all have jurisdiction under the whole county, right?
We do. And, you know, the way I look at it, you know, the citizens of Pritchard are citizens of Mobile County, and I'm going to do my best to make sure that they, you know, feel like they can live in a safe environment and sit out in a yard or go to the store, you know, without being a victim of crime.
Now, you've, you know, done this focused, and I know you have a name for those teams, but you've been moving those assets around Mobile County too, kind of hot spots.
We have. Because everything we do is data-driven, you know, or sometimes we get multiple complaints in a particular area. And so we'll deploy those assets over there and take care of the problem. But, you know, it's never just a one-shot deal. We're going to, you know, in those areas that continue to be problems, we're going to continue to be a problem for those causing problems.
Adam asking a question for the sheriff. Again, I'm an elected LEO, and I went to the Sanger one time, had a pistol in my pocket, and had my badge and state ID. The security guard would not let me enter with my firearm. Can they do that in these situations?
I've been to the Sanger, you know, frequently, and you know, most of the time, I know there are a number of police officers in there. And after the first time, I chose to leave mine in my vehicle before I go in there. But, you know, I don't think a guard should be able to tell you no. You need to find one of the law enforcement officers working the event and identify yourself. And, you know, and one of the big things they're concerned with, and I'll just say there's a couple of times I knew, you know, I was going to be having a few beverages while I was there, so I chose to leave mine in the vehicle.
Right, and that's something people don't like. I know
things have changed. And my wife drove home.
There you go. Some things have changed, I guess, with, you know, constitutional carry or permitless carry. But, I mean, it's written in your documents when you get a concealed carry permit when you void that.
Yes. Yeah. And it says when you're intoxicated.
Yeah, it's voided.
But, you know, I never intend on getting intoxicated, but I knew I was going to be in there having a couple of drinks.
Right.
And I know that we have adequate protection in there, so I just chose to not carry it in there. But I would suggest next time approach one of the actual law enforcement officers, you know, identify yourself and you know, see where it goes from there.
And quite a few questions, you know, coming in on these cold cases as well. Question about the Rene Bergeron cold case.
Yeah, there's no new updates. We feel pretty strongly about who the offender is in that, and you know, we're continuing to pay attention to him, and you know, hopefully one day somebody will give us that one little tidbit we need.
This unnamed texter said, what can you do if you think you might have illegal immigrants moving in? I had a white van pull up in my front yard and dropped an individual off. When I asked if I could help that individual, they spoke no English and wanted to know where his sister lived. He just kept pointing two different houses around me, saying his sister.
Well, currently, you know, just like, you know, we had a case just a few weeks ago where the sheriff's office, stopped a van load. I think they had 13 illegal immigrants, and we were able to arrest one because
there's a charge.
Could say that he was for human smuggling. You know, we determined that he was paid to transport them, but the rest.
Yeah, what do you do then? What do you do with the rest of the people there?
We took them to the bus station. We had Border Patrol came out, took the photograph, you know, wrote down whatever they tell you the name is, and mm-hmm. you know, just because it was so hot on the interstate and we were seizing the vehicle, we drove them to the bus station and let them out because you can't arrest them.
Right. And that there you go. Because people talk about it in a kind of political sense back and forth, but that's the reality of this.
I don't have, you know, the Biden White House has tied our hands, you know, our being law enforcement mm-hmm. as a whole, federal and local, to be able to arrest illegal immigrants for committing a crime, being here illegally.
I mean, it's plain complain that you have somebody who has no work visa, nothing like that, but you just take them to the bus station. That's all you're allowed to do.
That's all we're allowed to do is, you know, write down what – they don't have any identification, so you write down whatever they tell you their name is, take the photograph, and send them on their way. Again, that particular situation, we weren't going to leave them on the side of the interstate.
Right.
And so they're dropped off at the bus station.
Tim says, Sean, often people are quick to criticize, but I think the sheriff's office is doing a hell of a job along with the sheriff, doing a hell of a job along with his whole staff. So,
well, thank you.
And people want to get more engaged in that, too. Once again, see how we'll bring it back to the Citizens Academy coming up in October.
In October. I think it'll be a fun time. Learn more about what we do in a much more intimate setting. And that's something I plan on continuing for many years.
And you mentioned, like, seeing what y'all do, but also discussion of the law and how it's implemented. Like, we'll learn, like, why and what, like, the stuff you answer on this show.
Exactly. And, again, get to see, you know, we'll have some case presentation. We'll have, you know, a lot of, you know, a class on evidence collection and, you know, what we look for when we're searching a crime scene. And there'll be some actual crime scene stuff shown. And I think
all the
really
CSI fans are going to come out for that.
Yeah, well, we welcome them. And again, I want to say, too, we are still offering our, you know, firearms familiarization class, you know, and that you can sign up online for that as well.
Now, explain that. We got about a minute here.
We started it, you know, a few months ago. It's where, you know, first-time gun owners or people who may be just, uncomfortable with their firearms sign up for the class, and you know, we'll teach you about it, and, you know, teach you firearm safety, and then, you know, the next one's actually hands-on shooting, and
that's needed,
and it's free.
It's free, and they just sign up through the website.
Yep.
Speaking of which, the website is
mobileso.com.
All right, and still popular. Who's in jail?
Oh yeah, yeah. That's probably one of our most popular things on the website, and you know, we're looking at doing some different things with that.
So. All right, good stuff, Sheriff. I'll see you, if not before, next month.
Yep, sounds great.
All right, coming back, hour number
two. Thank you all for the questions.
Hey, no problem. Don't keep them, get them ready. If you didn't get them asked today, be ready for the second Tuesday of the month of October, when we'll get another chance at that. Michael Yaffe on the way. Plus your calls and text at 343-0106.